The Word of God describes the life of those who are in the world, that is, unbelievers, those who've never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That life is described as a futile, vain, empty life. Also, Scripture shows us the way out of that worldly way of living. That way out, of course, is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then when one becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word tells us that a person is not only then forgiven and becomes a child of God, but also, along with that, added to it and extended on thereafter, that person's manner of living is to begin to change so that day by day, more and more, that person is no longer living as the world lives. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you no longer walk, just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. That you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. That's the will of God for His people. That you walk no longer. You probably know this letter, like all the New Testament epistles, was written to Christians, to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is speaking through Paul the Apostle to His followers, the followers of Jesus Christ, and saying that we are to walk no longer as the Gentiles walk. That is, we are to live no longer as the world lives. Gentiles here used in a spiritual sense to speak of those in the world. Pagans, the unredeemed, non-Christians, those without a living faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you walk no longer as the world walks. You sort of sense maybe in that little phrase, no longer, that they once walked like the world walks. That's the truth about all of us. All of us lived just like the ungodly live. And God tells us that He wants us to walk no longer as the world is walking. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ should not be living the same kind of life that they lived before they turned to the Lord. Now, why is that so? Why does the Lord want us to have a new walk when we come to Him? Because the former life was a futile way of living. That you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. In the vanity of their way of thinking. The mind of the world is a way of looking at things, a way of looking at life, a way of developing and choosing a lifestyle. And here the Scriptures call it a mind of futility, and of course that leads to a walk of futility. Futility has to do with vanity, emptiness, aimlessness, purposelessness. It describes a life lived by illusion, by imagination, lived along unreal lines, lived in the way that does not really take into account what is actually true and real and so in the sight of God. That you walk no longer, just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind. Do you remember this verse in Romans 1, verse 21? I'll read it. If you want to turn, you may. Romans 1:21. For even though they knew God, they did not honor or glorify Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations. This describes humanity, who knew that there was a God, Romans speaks of mankind looking at the heavens and knowing there is a God that made them. Romans speaks of the conscience, where the moral ways of God are written on the heart, and man finds within a confirmation that he's doing rightly or an accusation that he's doing wrongly. And the Scripture says that the world, mankind knew there was God there, but they didn't bow to Him as God. They didn't honor Him with their lives as God. They didn't even give Him thanks for everything that He gave them, including life itself. But instead, they became futile in their speculations. They became vain, empty, aimless, full of illusion in their speculations. You know, it's so sad when people insist on speculating on what life is all about. The sadness of it is that it's full of futility and vanity. And on the other hand, God has declared to us in His Word clearly what life is all about. How sad to speculate and try to figure out a life plan on our own. It leads to futility. And it's always been that way. It's evidently that way today to an astounding degree. But it's always been like that substantially. The children of Israel, the chosen, called people of God that before the Lord Jesus Christ came were to be a testimony to the world. They had commandments from God. They had a covenant with God. They had warnings from God. And they were to be the people that would tell the world a Savior was coming. 2 Kings chapter 17 speaks of what their experience was, and it gives a strong, sober warning to us. 2 Kings 17. In verse 15 of this chapter, we read, "And they rejected His statutes and His covenant which He made with their fathers and His warnings with which He warned them, and they followed vanity," or vain idols, "and became vain," or became empty idolaters, "and went after the nations which surrounded them, concerning which the Lord had commanded them not to do like them." The children of Israel, in general, rejected the statutes of the Lord. God had given them His Word, His truth, His patterns for living. They rejected them. Have not multitudes done that today? Won't even take a look at the things of the Lord. Won't even consider His patterns and principles and path to walk on. Israel had a covenant with God. If they would just trust and obey Him, He would bless them abundantly and use them, protect them, provide for them. There is today a covenant available in Jesus Christ. Jesus held up the cup at the Lord's Supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood." His death purchased a new agreement between God and man for all who would believe. But so many are rejecting it or won't even listen to it. God sent warning after warning to Israel. They would not listen. Many today, thank the Lord, are warning mankind of what's ahead if we choose a path other than God's. The children of Israel, though they had the greatest opportunity among mankind at that time, and through them others were to have the opportunity of worshiping the true and living God, they followed vanity and became vain. They followed after empty idols, lifeless idols, senseless idols, mindless idols, and became vain. Instead of following after the Lord God, though there was a faithful remnant, God never leaves Himself without a witness, the Scriptures reveal. In general, they followed vanity. They pursued after vain things instead of pursuing after God. You know what happens when people do that? You know what happens when we do that? We become like what we chase after. I saw in some news report recently, I guess this kind of stuff comes out this time of year, of some sports fan that had some team that he followed everywhere. And every place they played, he flew there and watched them. And his clothing was marked in every portion of it with colors and emblems of this team. And when they talked to him, all he could talk about was this team. And even his vehicle was covered with things reminding of this team. Now, I'm not saying that a sports event can't be kind of fun now and then. It's kind of neutral depending on what you do with it or how much time you give to it. But if that's a man's life following, how vain. And as they talked to him, my heart really broke. You know, first it was kind of humorous, and I thought, how tragic, how sad. That man has followed after vanity, and he has become vain. He's followed after emptiness, and when they talk to him, nothing but emptiness comes out. We really do become what we pursue after. God wants His people to become like Him, and He says, follow after me. Jesus says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Pursue after me, and I'll change you. Jesus came to catch men for the kingdom, and He says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Pursuing after Him changes our life to be more like Him. But Israel, instead of following after the Lord God Jehovah, followed vanity, dumb, empty, stupid, fruitless things. And they became just like what they were chasing after. They became dumb and empty. What they had chosen to do was they decided to go after the nations around them. They went after the nations that were surrounding them. When God brought them into the land, He gave what sounded like a very harsh judgment on those nations. He said, destroy them, wipe them out. We would rather reach an agreement with them, you know. Hey, we can work together on this. God knew the abomination of where their hearts were. These nations were burning babies on red-hot idols, thinking they would please imaginary gods they knew not of. God said, the only thing they deserve and what you need for protection is a complete separation, destroy. They didn't fully. And what happened? Many of them got enticed back in to the things of the world. And though they were called to be a separate people, they went after the nations around them. They turned from the things of God to the things of the world. It's sort of like that with us. The nations were surrounding Israel. Israel was to reach them with the truth. Many of those nations reached Israel with error and abomination. We have the world surrounding us. On my trip this past week to Dallas to minister with John Jockin and help for Christian National's missions ministry and mission board, and then to have a Living in Christ fellowship meeting open to the body of Christ in Dallas, many folks we'd ministered with for 14 years there. I was out with my dear brother in the Lord, Larry, who was an elder in the church back there, to their farm and their farmhouse out in East Texas. And it was beautiful, and I was overwhelmed by the quietness of it. And I'm sure the world was around him, but it just wasn't quite like back here in good old Orange County. Here the world just presses in on every pore of your being. Out there you have to kind of hunt it up. It's there, but you see more of the creation and less of the world system. It was kind of fresh and cleansing and comforting. And I told him again, I said, well, I'm glad I'm out where I am by God's assignment and not just by chasing after something. Because the world out there just jumps all over you. Everywhere you turn, it's just screaming at you. Israel had the world surrounding them. If anything, it's more that way with us now. All around us is the world system. You pick up the paper and the world yells at you. And there's things to learn in there, but there's also a lot of junk that can come out of there. You turn on the radio and the world jumps at you. You turn on the TV, the world jumps at you. You get in the car and the world honks at you. Cross the street and the world runs you down. You drive down the highway and billboards yell at you, and you're looking for a tree and all you see is smoke this, drink that. And, you know, the world is just every place, particularly so in urban areas. And we're faced in many ways with the same challenge, if not greater, that Israel faced. The Lord had commanded them at the end of this verse, 2 Kings 17:15, not to do like them. God's people are not to be living like them, like the world. We are no longer to be living as the world lives. The world thinks empty and futile thoughts, and then gives itself to empty and futile things. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The things we feed on in our mind are the things we are becoming. And the world is feeding on futility, emptiness. And they're becoming empty. And they're hunting and hunting and hunting for things that cram down inside those empty places because it hurts to be empty inside. And when you cram more emptiness into emptiness, you just feel increasingly vain inside. We are no longer to be living as the world is living. Many in the world are living for the weekends. They endure Monday through Friday to have a TGIF. As if they were really thanking God that it was Friday. What vanity. What vanity. And it's leading to vain lives. There are people more diligent than that. They aren't living just to go crazy on the weekend. But they're living for their retirement years. Their great hope and joy and glory, their motivating factor inside, and everything they think will be fulfilling is when they're retired. And that's a futile thought. That's a vain idea. That's a vain idea, and then when retirement comes, it leads to such an empty life that they go crazy. I was with my dad in Dallas. He lives there, and his prison ministry headquarters is there. And we had a beautiful dinner together, he and my stepmom, one evening, and it was just a tremendous blessing. And oh, I thank God for drawing me closer and closer to my dad. I know I broke his heart 1,000 ways when I was young. And now I find that we're a real mutual encouragement to each other. And we just had a tremendous time. And I said, folks are asking me when you're going to retire. He laughed. He said, we get calls like that all the time. My stepmom says, ministries are calling all the time. Want to know if we want them to take over this ministry now that we're getting on in years. And I kid him. I said, are they bidding for it? What's going on? I said, well, that's what it sounds like. And my dad said, you know, this week I gave them all a big answer. I just told them we had just set forth, which they did, their 5-year plan of ministry. He says, come back and talk to me in 5 years. And my dad's in his mid-70s. And he told me, he said, Bob, why would I retire? He said, that's like ceasing to live as far as I'm concerned. He says, I live to serve the Lord and to reach those locked up in prisons. And now when God's doing the greatest measure of work ever in our, this is his 50th year of prison ministry, he said, why would I retire? Why would I turn from life and just go sit and die somewhere? Amen. That's not vain thinking. I love it. I love it. If the Lord lets me live the years my dad has lived, I'd love to be at his age standing doing just what I'm doing now. That touched something deep in my heart. But the world has a futile mind, a vain mind, an empty mind. And many are living, they think, just for the retirement years, while all of God's life is just passing them by. Others are living for fame. They live for that one next indication that someone else knows they're around that didn't know yesterday they were there. Some are living for power. All that matters to them, if they can just find one more person over whom they can hold a sway and influence. And it's vanity. It's the futility of the mind of the world. Some are just living for that next promotion. All that matters to them is climb up some imaginary ladder that leads nowhere, from which many dive into an empty pit of despair and disappointment when they get there. The mind of the world is futile. Some live only for self. And in this day and age, they're the ones that get the most encouragement from everyone else. The Scripture says, men will applaud you when you do well for yourself. Why? Because everything in them is aching to be in your place. Wish they could do as well for themselves. What vain thinking. We're put on this earth to live for God, and then in the name of God, we become a blessing to others. And that's living. Many people are killing themselves by overindulgent, self-directed, futile thinking. Some live for recreation. All they work for is for the hours when they aren't working. That is vanity. Work is ordained of God. We're either where He wants us to be for His reasons, or we should be asking Him, where does He want us to be? And then that will be a place of fruitful service, even right on the job. Many are wasting vain, empty hours with vain, empty soap operas. Soap operas were created by the devil to plug up empty hearts with more emptiness. We're no longer to live the way the world lives. I walked through the airport the other day. I was through a few times changing planes and all. And in one of these waiting rooms, somebody came up with the idea. Now they've got a TV there. Nobody gets a chance to sit and think anymore. People jogging have something plugged in their ears. I mean, woe be if we'd ever have to think. Wonder if they're listening to headquarters, you know. Now return home. You've jogged far enough. Now they had a TV there in the waiting room at the airport for the plane, and some soap opera was blaring out, and I wanted to rename it As the Stomach Turns. I mean, I had to go way down at the end of the concourse. I wanted to read the Word and think and pray a little. There's the world screaming garbage out into my ears. The world has such a futile mind. And we all used to live that way. But we're no longer to live as the world lives. Many spend their time and money in pointless, godless movies and videos. I'm shocked sometimes when I hear believers talk about the kind of recreation and amusement they're involved in. I'm startled. I see promos on movies and hear people talking about movies. I don't hardly find one a year. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Two a year. A few a year worth even listening to, let alone taking the time and money to go see. Christians going to garbage movies. Christians going to R movies. I mean, this is the thinking of the world, brothers and sisters. We are no longer to live as the world lives. I also noticed, again, going through the airports, it reminded me of something of my life before the Lord. Struck with the inane conversations of humanity. You know, in line waiting for the planes, you hear a lot of things. There's a real clever, sharp, kind of witty older man. He looked like he's maybe in his late 70s, and And, you know, I kind of enjoyed him for a few minutes talking to a person he met there, and then it got increasingly ridiculous and silly and childish and vain, and I realized, Lord, that poor old man has given his whole life in just trying to be clever. And here he is at the end of his life, and there's filthiness in his language. There's foolishness in his talk. All he's living for is one more person to laugh at him one more time. About that time, he turned to me with one of his great witticisms, and my heart was just about breaking for him. And he must have looked at my face and thought I didn't speak English, you know. I mean, he told this tremendous joke, I guess. Everybody roared, and I just kind of had horror on my face. You know, boy, Lord, the futile mind of the world, thank you, Lord, that I'm still not there. I can remember the stupid things I used to talk about before I was saved. The dumb things you'd hunt somebody up to tell. What a futile way of living. We're no longer to live as the world lives. Filthy jokes. Oh, the things that people think are humorous. They're vanity of the ugliest kinds. Praise God, that's not the way we're called to live. And people lusting and craving. People get all pushed together on these planes, and you can just hear and see. Many have unrestrained craving for the satisfying of the lusts of the flesh. The futility of the mind of the world. Another futile thing in the worldly mind is using people. Manipulating, maneuvering, trying to get the edge on people. Instead of helping people, always wanting to be helped by people. Instead of sacrificing for people, always wanting everyone else to sacrifice for them. People, just the means to get where you want to go. That's the world's futile thinking. We're no longer to live as the world is living. Conning people. Lying to people. Cheating. Stealing. It's all coming out of the minds of people. Because they're not bowing before God and choosing His way. Even though the nagging drive inside is they know He's there. But they won't honor Him. They won't even thank Him. And God must give them over to their futile speculations. Thank God that we are no longer having to live that way. There is a way out of the world system. It has a tight hold on people. It makes slaves of people. It turns us into prisoners. But there is a way to get delivered, redeemed, set free. For the closing moments of our thinking together, let's read about that in 1 Peter 1. For some, perhaps this will be a sweet reminder of how you got out of that vain system on the right road. But listen, perhaps for 1, 2, maybe 5 or 10, this may be a chance to let God tell you for the first time how you can get out, or how you for the first time might respond to His way to get out of the world system. Let's listen carefully. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you, again speaking to believers, Christians, were not redeemed, bought back to God, delivered from bondage, with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers. Those who went before us, if they weren't walking with God, all they had to give us as an inheritance was a futile way of living. But Christians are redeemed from that futile way of life. Verse 19, not with gold and silver, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. There is a way to be redeemed. To be redeemed is to buy something out of its wrongful place and use and bring it back to its intended place and use. And God wants to redeem lives that are wandering around in the futility of the world and bring them back to Himself. He knows where they are as a futile way of life, and He knows they got it passed on to them from futile generations before them. And the purchase price The price paid to bring us out of that bondage was not silver and gold, but the precious blood of a spotless lamb, unblemished. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. His death for mankind paid the price before the Father of divine justice and holiness and the wrath of God against sin, and left the door wide open to all who would receive a cleansing, a forgiveness, and an entirely new start with God above. Redeemed, bought back to God through the precious blood of Christ. An unblemished, spotless lamb. No flaw. A sinless sacrifice. We sinned, incurred an eternal debt of separation from God called spiritual death. He died to pay that price. Now, for all who will believe, for all who receive that gift of life and forgiveness offered in Jesus Christ, there is redemption. There's a coming back, a being brought out of the wrong place to the right place, brought out of vanity and aimlessness to fullness and purposefulness. All because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Many of us, I know, have received that gift of new life in Jesus Christ, accepted His death as payment for their own sins, and turned to the Lord Jesus for deliverance from that futile way of the world that leads to a separation eternally from God. You talk about vanity and emptiness. Only God is fullness and reality. To turn from Him, there's nothing left now nor forever except emptiness and agony. Torment within that's only satisfied by knowing the love and the grace and the purposes of God. If perchance the Lord brought you here with us today because you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you this morning, I beseech you in the name of the Lord, put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer. You've been redeemed in Him if you'll but trust Him. He's more precious than silver and gold. And He died in your place. He had no debt of sin to pay to God. He always did the things pleasing to the Heavenly Father. He rose victorious from sin and death to give eternal life forever to those who call upon His name. I urge you, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, do it even as you hear the word of invitation. Come, trust in the Lord for forgiveness and life eternal. That will bring you out of that futile way of life that previous generations handed on to us and each got from the other. And you'll have purpose knowing God and helping others know Him. You'll have fullness inside of comfort and peace and growing understanding and a power from God that can change us and change things where we're virtually helpless. Oh, I know the Lord wants you to come to Him if you never have. Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. For the many of us here who have received the redemption that is in Christ Jesus the Lord through faith in Him, this is a word to us. We are no longer to be living as the world. May the Lord remind us today that He has a greater plan for us than the enemy is selling to souls in the world, robbing them, cheating them, and killing them with a vain way of life. Let the Lord remind us this morning that we are no longer to be living as the world lives. Now the Lord knows those places in our lives that are still hanging on from habit or enticement that are just exactly the way the world does it. When we come to the Lord for His salvation, we not only get a cleansing, forgiveness, and a whole new direction of life, we not only can begin to understand His way, but we get His help, His strength. Perhaps your prayer would be this morning, Lord, You've spoken to me. You've showed me some things today that need to go. Now, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, would You work in me to strengthen my commitment to Your path, to cut me loose from these things that want to kind of drag me back in the old way. He would love to hear that prayer. He's tuned into every one of our hearts, and He will answer a prayer like that. We are no longer to be living as the world lives. Let's stand and pray and then sing a song of response. Father, we hear Your word. It's very clear. And our hearts are stirred and convicted this morning, Lord. On one hand, we're so comforted and glad that You've redeemed us out of that futile way of living. Our hearts just saying thank You. But Lord, in another sense, we're convicted and realize that there's some things that maybe need to be changed and things we need to let go of, things we need You to just trim away from our lives. Lord, we open up our hearts to You and ask You that whatever in our lives is of the world and is vain and futile and needs to go, show it to us and take it away, Lord. And Lord, for any of those who need right now to open their heart up to Jesus Christ, touch them, remind them by Your Holy Spirit that, Lord Jesus, You are the Redeemer and You bought them with the precious blood. Your sinless life dying in our place. Lord, our hearts worship You this morning. Lord, You're more precious than silver and gold, and what could we desire more than a life walking with You? Lead us that path, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.